Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Okay, I tried to avoid reading a lot of text, but let me use 90 seconds just to have you go to 2 Kings, and I'm going to just tell you verses I want you to read. Go to 2 Kings 2, verses 1, and begin to read when you all say it, have it. You can put it up on the screen for me. Okay, ready, read. Okay, let's stop. Okay, hold on. I'm going to say, ready, read, and then y'all with some power and some diction and timing. Read the Bible. Ready, read. See how them prophets talk? May the Lord add a blessing to the hearing and the reading of his word. The spirit that was on Elijah rested upon Elisha. And how did the mentor become a partner and then eventually an apprentice? How does one arrive at God's intended path for their life? Is it just through the supernatural working of God in an individual's life? Or has God chosen to use other human beings full of His Spirit, wisdom, power, and purpose to make a profound impact on your life? If I was going to tell you what were the three signals within this text that you should look for, is in order for Elijah to get the anointing, Elisha to get the anointing that was on Elisha, he had to follow the leader. And he just couldn't follow the leader. You know, you can follow people and be upset that you've got to follow them.
Telling me all that, what's wrong? Look at their life.
But there's something else, not just to follow the leader, but to walk in partner or walk with your leader. We're not just separated by distance and calling and anointing. We're entering into something far greater, a personal, intimate relationship that is familial. It is equal to family, that would almost require me to give you an inheritance even though we're not blood. That's how closely we can walk. But it's another thing to actually receive something from someone that has mentored you and imparted to you, but you cannot produce or reproduce their life in your generation. You cannot imitate. The next thing you got to do is imitate the leader. We have become content to observe our leadership. We've become content with just following rules and order, but we keep a distance and we say, I'm like this and they're like that, and I don't want to bring any, I'm just going to stay out of it. But what's at stake is the anointing or the spirit or the calling or the character or the behavior or the style of someone that was effective in the generation before you becomes lost. The first thing we see, and you have to look at 1 Kings 19 to really see this, is that Elisha had to follow Elijah. You got to understand, Elijah was going through some tough times in his life on the path that God had set for him. He knew God, but he challenged Jezebel. He tore down the prophets. He defeated all of them. He killed all of them. Then she started chasing him. Then he got depressed, went in the wilderness, just wanted to die, and God has to rescue him. He says, I'm the only one that's standing for the Lord. Sometimes we don't get on the path God has for us because we feel like we're the only ones. And why keep fighting? Why keep doing it? I'm the only one. I'll be dealing with that on Wednesday night. You don't want to miss it, especially if you struggle with fatigue or depression or isolation because you're doing all the right things, getting the wrong results. You don't want to miss Wednesday night. I'm going to deal with that, and you're going to get set free. Amen. It's okay. It's a new season. He had to follow. God gets him up and said, let me tell you something. He told him in prayer. He said, Elijah, you think you're the only one left, but I want you to get up and anoint two new kings, and I want you to go get you somebody that's going to replace you. Let me tell you something. Everyone in this room is replaceable. That doesn't mean you're not unique. That doesn't mean you're not called. That doesn't mean you're not usable. But if you think you're going to hold the call of God hostage because you don't want to do it, you got another thing coming. God's got another man, another woman that will stand up and do exactly what he's called you to do if you won't do it. He said, I want you to go and anoint somebody else that in case you lose your mind again, we can put somebody else in. Elijah. Now, this is a James Lowe commentary. This is not in the Bible. But this is how the story happened, and this is my commentary of it. Elijah, after God tells him to anoint his successor, takes off his mantle, which is customary. It represents his office. It represents his calling, his assignment from God. It represents all of that. And he throws it on Elisha, saying to him, you've got a call. But that's not enough for Elijah to say to Elisha, you've got a call. And Elijah actually does the work that God calls him to do and give the mantle to Elisha. That's not enough. Elisha has to respond. Elisha, he runs after him and say, hey, I see what you're doing. I've got a call. But give me some time. Hold on, let me go back and get some stuff done in my own family. And Elijah said, I don't have nothing to do with you. I don't have to do all that. I did my part. God told me to make it available to you. Make the path available to my people, James, so they can know me, grow, and go. Just make it available. That's all we can do as a church. There's an anointing available for you here in the house. Forget about Elijah and Elisha for a minute. There's an anointing. There's a grace. There's a call. There's a favor that is on this house that God wants to put on each and every individual here. But I can only just say prophetically, it's there for you if you make excuses. I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying, like Elijah said, hey, I ain't got nothing to do. You're going to replace me. And this is what's incredible. Elijah is riding with a team of 12 yoke of oxen, and he is leading the 12. He is the leader. It appears as if Elijah comes from a wealthy family. It appears as if the plan for his life is set. It appears as if he's got everything he needs, his education. He's got everything he needs to fulfill whatever his parents intended for his life. But yet God's got another assignment. And in front of his friends, the Bible says he takes those yokes. And he takes them and he begins to burn them. And he kills these oxen, cuts them up. And he begins to cook the meat. This is a fantastic scene. He takes the very life he could have had. And for the pleasure of God alone, and for the work that God has set him aside for, he took the most valuable thing he had, his life and all of its potential, and he burned it up and offered it to God. I wish I could just come to each individual seat and tell you that you may have had a lot of plans, and there could be a plethora of things that you are well suited to do. But if God has marked you, marked the church, thrown a mantle on you, it is yours to accept this path or reject it. There is no in between. I apologize, but if you thought that any of us stand in these offices without sacrifice, you are wrong. I should have been a multimillionaire by now. My wife would tell you what we turned down for you. We got the contract so we could just put in glass to look at, just to just remind ourselves. But you burn it. There's no way to get back. I surrendered it, and I can't even get back to it. When you decide to follow, what does it cost you? Everything. Jesus said, a man said, I want to follow you, Lord. I'll follow you. He said, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. You still want to follow me? I ain't got no promises for you that everything you gave up, you get back. Or you get it all back because you followed me. We want to make that called, let's make a deal, Lord. Now, Lord, if you give me my little dream right here, I'm going to give you something you want that you made me for. I'll give you what you made me for. Otherwise, I'm going to keep it hostage. Another man said, God, I'm going to follow you, but let me go back and bury my daddy. He wasn't saying that his daddy died and he had to bury. He's saying, let me live a full life the way I want to live it. Enjoy my parents. Enjoy where I live. And when they are old and gone and I gave them my best, then I'll give you whatever's left over and follow you. What are you, do you have something left over you can give God? Last I checked, he deserves the first, the fattest, and the best when you follow. So Elisha decided to follow Elijah and walk with him. Let me tell you something about the point two, walking with somebody. When you walk with somebody, you learn that an anointing and someone's character to carry that anointing are two different things. That means there are people who have a gift to deliver you something from God, but that doesn't mean that they have a life that is consistent with the gift they dispense. And they have to deliver the gift and still live a godly life. And even if they don't live a godly life, God will still use their gift like he used Samson. But they will be destroying their life and their testimony and their reward. But God will get what he wants out of your life. See, walking with someone will bring you into their struggles. Oh, y'all don't always get along? No, we don't always get along. You don't always get along with anybody. Nobody always gets along with everybody. Get over that. Do y'all have fights in your marriage? Yes! Get over that. What do you think this is? Make believe? But what makes us qualify is that we followed the example of those that when you come into those character conflicts, you choose the cross and not yourself. You choose to die. Die to what you want. Die to what you think. Taking your cross up every day, figuring out you can't respond poorly. You can't get a root of bitterness. You can't get unforgiving. You can't lash back out in anger. You can't cuss somebody out because you're a saint. You can't go off. You can't steal. You can't pay back evil for evil. When you walk with somebody, you're going to inevitably see something that lacks the character it should have. You don't think Elisha could see Elijah's bouts with depression, bouts with isolation? You don't think he was walking close enough to see it? They were walking so close that he was referred to as Elisha's assistant. He was referred to as the one who poured water on Elisha's hands. He was intimate. He was helping him get clothed. He was helping him in his whole life. You get to see somebody's scars, somebody's failures, somebody's ups and somebody's downs. But you know what making walking with somebody does? It helps you understand that God still chooses to use a person with failures and with flaws and with brokenness to change lives and do dynamic and powerful things. So it cannot be about if you feel qualified. None of us are qualified. It takes his anointing. It takes his mantle. It takes his spirit to be upon you for you to be something great and different and powerful. Don't ever get it twisted that you're looking at a great man. You're looking at what a great God can do through a weak man, through a broken man, through a confused man, an isolated man, a man that was crazy most of his life until an anointing came on me. You walk with him. If you walk with someone long enough, you can turn, you can ask some pretty extraordinary questions once you served. When you serve, the Bible says a servant can turn into a son. And Elijah turned to Elisha after he tried to get him to stop following and say, "What can I do for you, son?" He said, "Only want one thing. I know you gave me God gave me the calling, but I want the same spirit. I want a double portion of your spirit on me. I want the power in a greater measure to fulfill the same calling that you had. I want that." He said, "Man, that's hard. It's a lot of people. It's a lot of prophets standing on the side hoping it might fall on them. It's a lot of people who didn't keep walking with me on this path. There's a lot of people who stood at a distance. But Elijah, you were with me when I parted the Jordan and we walked over on dry ground. You stayed with me at Bethel. You stayed with me at Gilgal. You stayed with me in every city they told you that I was going to be leaving. You didn't start figuring out how you could fulfill your own stuff. Well, you know, down here, they hold you down too long. They make you go through too much process. I can't be waiting. I got something to do. Ooh, I'm called. I got to get out in the world." You're going to go out with a lesser anointing. I don't mean it in a bad way. It's just fact. All the other prophets had the same gift of prophecy, but they did not have the spirit of Elijah. Because you can't get that spirit without walking with that leader. Hey, glory, you didn't have to shout on that. I just touched myself. That will preach tonight when I'm sitting by myself. He walks over. He said, "If you see me, if you continue to walk with me all the way to the end of the path, and you see it happen, it's yours." God says it's yours. You won't just have been a servant of mine. You won't just have been an apprentice of mine. God will make you my spiritual son, my son. And you won't get an inheritance that a son gets, a double portion. Firstborn son gets a double portion. We are a family. What you see is the spirit of the Lord. The angels come, the chariots come. He sees the mantle that was originally thrown on him fall to the ground. He sees that calling fall. He sees that office fall. He sees everything he was taught on the ground. And here's the problem, saints. When you see it on the ground, you're still having that assignment, but now God puts you where you've got a choice on the path. Will I choose the freedom? He gives you a moment where you're released. The mantle is separate from you. You've got the words. You've got the visible setup of what to do on the path. But then God gives you this powerful choice. Will you walk in the way of this mantle, or will you walk the way you want to walk, how you want to walk, when you want to walk? Because about America is about freedom and the freedom to just be you. Am I an American, or am I an anointed son or daughter of God? Seeing the anointing, seeing the mantle is not enough to make a change in the world. You got to walk over to it like Elijah did and say, "I'll possess this thing." But you can't just take it and try it on. I mean, it fit me just like it did Elijah. Look at that. Ooh, you get this kind of paycheck. Ooh, you get this kind of, ooh, they comes with a mule. Ooh, I mean, this is great. Oh, wow. Ooh, goody, goody, goody. Look what I get. But right now, you're not powerful. You're just called. You're just available if you say yes. But the Bible commands that we imitate those who lead us, that we walk in the same grace. We walk the same way. So he had to take this thing off that is not decoration. Your anointing is not decoration. It has been given to you to be used and used immediately. He walks over to the same body of water that he crossed miraculously, and he has a choice. Will I walk around? Will I get a boat? or will I use the supernatural means that God himself has given me to do a deliverance? And he says, oh man, he says something unique. He says, I call upon the God of Elijah. I don't call on the man Elijah. I don't remember his character. I remember the spirit that was given by God, the anointing that was on him, the humility that was on him, the deliverance that was on him, the ability to defeat his enemies, the ability to do miraculous things. That's what I'll imitate. And he hit the water and he walked over. And everyone else that didn't walk closely with Elijah, they was watching it. And you know what they said?
Whoa. The spirit of Elijah on that boy. I guess we're going to have to do what he says.
And they bowed down to the one who had previously only been referred to as the guy who pours water on Elijah's hands. Yeah. How many times the devil going to make what you do in church and do for God insignificant?
Well, we stuffing the thing. All I'm doing is opening the door and saying, hello, welcome to Bethel. Yeah, that's real anointed.
But it's something about the path. You know how you grow? In service. And that's one of our values. When you serve, you grow. When you surrender your life, when you submit, God begins to elevate you. Your character grows. And God said, I'm going to let you pick that anointing up. And all of a sudden, James Lowe, the guy who was just a parking lot guy, the guy who was just ushering the cars, a guy who was just out there being faithful in the rain, a guy that never dreamed that God would elevate me from the parking lot to the pulpit as a senior pastor. Pastor, are you kidding me? But when you have an anointing, when God anoints you, you can stand in your office and say, yeah, 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 look what the door is doing. Oh, stand up, I'm out of time. Let me tell you something. You're wondering, what's that? I got to tell you like the Lord gave me. It's a holy command in this house. You'll either have to walk away from it in disobedience. You'll have to reject it. But there is no choice here. I work for a boss. His name is Jesus. The beginning of getting saved is calling Jesus Lord. And when you call him Lord, you surrender your will. And if you've surrendered your will and you go to this church, then you're already on the path. And we're going to show you how to know God in a greater way. We're going to grow you so ultimately you can go out in your workplace and change the world. Give God praise and glory. I'm sorry, I got to do what the Lord told me to do. Okay, so listen, music people, here we go. Come to the altar. I pray anybody that gets saved, you need to get saved, you need to get saved, but I have to create a personal moment. I'm gonna get you down and then I'm gonna dismiss. I'm gonna say all the dismissal stuff now. If you would like to meet me, you're new to Bethel, I'll be right over here. I would like everybody in our church not to run out, because it's being a part of a church family is going and eating together once a month. We provided the food you pay for. Go eat with each other. Don't run out. But finally, many of you have an appointment to pick something up. Sorry. And it's personal. No minister can help you. We can't help you today. But if when I was preaching, God was being clear with you about what you left out undone, you even got a hint that the Lord wanted more of you, I don't even care if you can't fit up here. You better move to the closest aisle or as far to the front of the room as possible. I'm going to give you a minute to do it. I'm going to pray for you and dismiss you. Come. If that's you and God has been speaking, don't hesitate and surrender. Get close and surrender. Surrender.
A lamp unto my
come surrender.
Head.
Just bow before him. Surrender it all.
If you've watched this message and you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, I've got good news. You can do it right now. I want you to pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life for the rest of my life. I acknowledge I am a sinner. I need you, my Savior. I believe you died for me. I believe you were raised from the dead on the third day. And I confess that you are now Lord of my life. If you've just prayed that prayer, I have good news for you. You have eternal life. The next step for you is to get in a Bible-believing church. We volunteer to be that church. But if not us, we pray God's blessings on you as you search for God's best for you. Thank you.